following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, hello there, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to another Refuge Daily. This is Mike Rogers coming to you from the beautiful little city of Long Beach. It's actually a pretty good sized city. And a place where I grew up. I don't live here now, but I visit it quite often. Still have some family members here and friends, for sure. Wanted to speak to you a little bit about the book of Titus. It's been on my mind and on my heart because I'm studying it, and I'm actually sharing it at a senior living home on Sundays. I want to talk to you a little bit about that a little bit later on. Regarding a possible ministry opportunity for you if you're interested. But where I'm at in Titus, I'm just starting out looking at the book again. Have read it a number of times in the past. It's a real easy book to read because it's a letter written by Paul to Titus. Titus was a Gentile, and he was a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. I went with Paul on missionary journeys and had traveled with Paul, and one of the journeys that they had made was to the island of Crete, and Paul had left him on that island, or assigned him to that island, whatever, to kind of church plant, and there was believers there on that island, but they were there was an interesting people. Now, when I grew up here in Long Beach, actually, I remember the term living like the Cretans, and I never really understood what that meant, but they were a disobedient people, an unruly people, had a reputation, had kind of a negative reputation, some of them, I'm sure not all of them, obviously, but some of them came to be believers, and so a church is planted there, Paul had ministered there, and now Titus is there, and he is getting this letter from Paul. With some instruction. It's actually what we would call one of the pastoral letters. It's similar to what we read in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. And it's a pastoral letter that Paul had written to Titus for, I think, instructive and encouragement, a certain amount of encouragement. But certainly there was some instruction there for Titus to follow. Titus may or may not have been as young a man as Timothy in the writings that Paul had written to Timothy, but Titus nonetheless had some responsibilities, pastoral type responsibilities, and Paul was giving him some instruction on picking elders. And speaking of elders, the word elder to me in the past it oftentimes meant elderly. You know, we know the elderly, and we know people that actually are. I'm getting up there myself in my 60s now. But when I was in my 20s and 30s and thinking of the elderly people, really had, there was a big disconnection. I had a grandmother that lived in New York, and so I got to see her every once in a while, but didn't have a whole lot of relationship with a lot of people who were, we would consider elderly. Now I do. My wife and I, for over 20 years now, have been involved in ministering to those in a senior living home or in convalescent homes. And as well as hospitals and those kind of things, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. But I want to get into Titus just real quick, if I can get through this. This is a letter from Paul, it says, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, this letter is from Paul, a slave, or in some translations, a bondservant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen, and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. So Paul has certainly given us many, many instructions in his writings about how to live godly lives, and taught to him directly by Jesus, as well as the Holy Spirit continuing to teach Paul as he teaches others. It says, this truth in verse 2 gives them confidence that they have the eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the world began. And now, at just the right time, he has revealed this message, which we announce to everyone, talking about the gospel. It is by the command of God, our Savior, that I have been entrusted with this work for him. I am writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share, may God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior, give you grace and peace. So a familiar type of introduction from Paul, but certainly power-packed in the sense that the reason why Paul is given these truths is so that we could have that confidence. And certainly a young pastor, an elder, anybody leading in the church needs to have that confidence. And it's important to know that we have eternal life, because that's what you want to convey to other people. It's encouraging to other people, and that's one of the things that we want to do. He goes on, and I'm not going to go all through Titus, but he says in verse 5, I left you on the island of Crete so you can complete our work there and appoint elders in each town as I instructed you. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. Well, we know that's a difficult order to uphold with our kids having a mind of their own, and particularly in today's society, our culture today, they could run rampant. But it is important for an elder in the church, a person in leadership position, we'll just call it, in the church, to have a family that he's doing his best he can to keep it in order by the command of God. And it also says in verse 7, an elder is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. Very, very clear direction on that. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, but must be, he must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. Obviously, the Word of God is good, and God's people. He must live wisely and be just, and he must live a devout and disciplined life. So we see a lot of direction there of the requirements of elders, as well as we see in Paul's letters to Timothy. But he goes on and he says he must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught, and then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. And so you want to be able to point to Scripture, and you want certainly the things that we've learned from Scripture, we want to be able to share that with others. That's one of the things I try to do. It's kind of interesting in the ministry that I've been involved in, my wife and I have been involved in, ministering to people who are sometimes, well, when we started it, they were oftentimes 30, 40 years older than we were, and now they're in their 70s, they're in their 80s, and some of them are in their 90s even, and here I am sharing the gospel with them. I'm sharing with them the different books of the Bible. We go through the books verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and I share with them. Some of them have been in church for many, many years, certainly longer than I've been going to church. I've been basically going to church on a regular basis. I've been walking with the Lord for over 30 years, but some of them have been well above that in the amount of years they've been actually attending church and listening to teachers teach and going through the Bible. Some of them, believe it or not, haven't even heard of the book of Titus, and I've actually shared that with other people in the past, but I'm opening it up to them now, and they're enjoying it, they're loving it, and what I see this letter to Paul, I feel almost like it was written to me when I read chapter 2, and it says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. In verse 3, he says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. Can you imagine me being 20, 30 years younger than some of these people that I'm teaching, to teach them, to show them that, you know, that they need to live godly lives and be wise in what they're doing? I look to them for wisdom oftentimes, and I love to hear their stories, but yet God has called me to do what I'm doing there, and I really love that. And that's where the ministry opportunity could come up for you as well, if God calls you along those directions. But going on, he says, they must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. That's a word that a lot of people don't care for too much. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. And how important is that? to not bring shame on the Word of God. When people know us as Christians, how important it is for us to live our lives as Christians, not perfect, knowing that we're going to fail and we're going to fall, but to get back up and to dust ourselves off, repenting, get back in the game and walk right uprightly with the Lord, how important that is for us. We see that so often, and being taught that. We're so fortunate to have such good teachers, particularly at Refuge, where we're hearing it daily, how to live wisely, how to live a godly life. It comes straight from the Word of God. As Paul's instructing Titus to pick people that could help lead in the church there and to build up the body of Christ, we get that same instruction where we go at Refuge. And there's other churches around, other fellowships around, particularly Orange County has so dozens and dozens of them, so many of them. But I want to talk to you really quick about an opportunity, a ministry opportunity. And it has to do with ministering to the elderly people. We have right now, we have one facility that we're going into. Before COVID, we had two that we were able to get into. And now we're actually able to get back in with these people that are living in the final seasons. I call it the final seasons of their life. Nobody knows how much longer they're going to be around, but certainly it's a blessing to be able to bring church to them in the sense of being able to have a chapel service is what we do on Sundays. Perhaps God has put that on your heart to be involved in something like that. I'm basically giving you a shameless commercial right now. I'm just saying, hey, if God's called you to do something like that, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to be able to share with you what our experience is. Michelle and I have been doing this now for over 20 years. It's been nothing less than a fantastic blessing for us. The time that we spend with these people is just something that has helped us in our faith, in our walk, in our growth, and to be able to see people who are faithfully, regardless of their condition, physically, spiritually, or mentally, they're willing to come. They want to come and worship the Lord. They're longing to hear God's word being spoken. They're certainly looking for that loving kindness that is very evident when Christians come to them. And so if that's something that maybe God has put on your heart, or have you ever thought about it, or you're just looking for a ministry opportunity to be involved in where you can make a difference in somebody's life just by showing up. We've all had grandparents and elderly people that we've been around at times. Some of us didn't get to know our grandparents very well, but that's what they are. A lot of them are grandparents and great-grandparents that, you know, maybe their kids live far away or their grandkids just don't really feel comfortable coming to a convalescent home or a retirement facility, that kind of thing. You have an opportunity, even if it's for an hour a week, to be able to spend some time with some people. So if that's something you're interested in, Michael Rogers at refugefamily.com. Reach out to me. If you see me at church, certainly you're interested, you want to just talk about it, I'm always willing to talk about what our experiences have been. Maybe, and I would think that God would love to hear that we have opened that up to other facilities. Right now, I do one in Huntington Beach. We're involved in one in Huntington Beach. We have one in Long Beach. As soon as the COVID pandemic opens some additional, or that's done and we can open some doors there, we'll probably be back in there again. But maybe God has put that on your heart. So if you're interested in something like that, I pray that you would be willing to reach out. And it doesn't have to be to me. You can talk to any one of the pastors, or you can, if you don't go to Refuge, you can find, there's lots of those things going on at different facilities. So God bless you, and I pray that the Lord would open that door for you if that's what you're interested in. So I usually tend to go a little bit too long with these, but I want to pray for you just in case. And on this Thankful Thursday, this is Mike Rogers signing out with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to, through this media, speak to the hearts of anybody that you might have already called into this ministry of being able to reach out to the elderly, just to encourage, whether they have a gift of doing worship, whether they just have a gift of encouragement, they can hold somebody's hand for a little while and pat them on the back and say hello, give them a smile. I pray, God, that you're going to continue to provide for your saints that are in these facilities that can't get out and go to church every Sunday like we have the freedom to do now. I just pray, God, that you'll open those doors and your will be done. And I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. So have a thankful Thursday. God bless each and every one of you. And this is Mike Rogers signing out.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door.